All right. How are you guys doing tonight? Wow. How are you doing tonight?
Very well.
I know I'd get a good answer out of him. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, you do a great job. Do you guys think Brother Jim does a great job?
Yes.
Oh, my soul. Bless your heart. I saw you working up there. Man, that's harder than I've worked all week. And you do a great job, Brother Jim. And I appreciate you and your wife and their faithfulness. How long have you been doing song leading?
About 10 years.
10 years. Praise the Lord. 10 years here. How long before that? What were you doing before that?
Yes, I had another 10 years in another church.
Another 10 years in another church, and is that it?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So I'm not an engineer, but is that 10, 10, 20?
Yes.
20. All right. So 20 years of faithfulness serving the Lord, and praise the Lord. You do a great job. Thank you so much for playing, and good job, Miss Charity. And so, Pastor, thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. You guys have a great pastor. Amen?
Amen?
I wasn't good enough. You guys have a great pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Pease, you and your wife have done a great job. And I tell you, I've been impressed by you. But you want to know something else I've been more impressed by? Is your children. I don't know if you guys are around here much, but I don't want to lift anybody up higher than they deserve. But Christian and Andrew, I've not seen young men their age that has a heart to serve like those young men. And you have a lot to be proud of just in those boys. And you have a lot to be proud of in this ministry. And so I'm thankful for your specialness here. Your boys playing with my boys has been just fantastic. And they've enjoyed that. They probably would stay and have more fun with your boys than they would me. And so, Christian, Andrew, are they even here tonight? They left. Oh, they're over there. There they are, Christian, Andrew. You guys are wonderful young men, and I hope you guys never lose your heart and your joy of serving the Lord and working on the bus. And so I praise the Lord for them. And so let me just real quick, before I get started too much, Pastor said I'm preaching for a little bit. Can I ask for a little bit more than a little bit? Take as long as I need. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the teenagers' parents will be here at 9:30, so I'm just joking. I know we want to get to eat somewhere and to have a good time with fellowship, so I'll try not to take too long, but I do want to introduce myself to you before I get into the message tonight, and just so you guys get to know me, I've got to know a little bit of you a little bit, and know a few of your names. Of course, know the Bateman family. Brother Bateman, you are a ball of energy, and your family has been a huge, huge encouragement to me, and he does a great job with the teenagers on Wednesday night. I was in there, and Brother Bateman, you do a great job. And I hope you continue to keep up the good work there with those young people and your family as well. And where's Allison? Allison, hi Allison. You do a great job. And I think she's keeping you in line, correct? I think she keeps her dad and mom in line. So it's good to have them tonight. Heard about Brother Armstrong. I think he's here. Brother Armstrong, 101, 102. 101 years old and still faithful. Lord, how long have you been saved, Mr. Armstrong? Oh, my soul. Wow. I think you should be preaching, Mr. Armstrong. I bet there's no way, shape, or form that I could preach anything that you haven't heard in over 90 years here in church. And so, praise the Lord for your faithfulness, sir. And then got to meet a few of the folks. Went to the nursing home. And Art, I was praying for this morning. What was his name? It's a nursing home scene, brother. Brother, what is it? Milton Brandt. How do you guys know Milton Brandt? Milton Brandt. I went and visited with him and was left in tears. The sweet heart that he has and the good spirit that he has there reminds me of my father, though my father didn't have a sweet spirit about being in the nursing home like Milton, Brother Milton did, but he reminded me of my father. Got to pray and visit with him. Got to see Brother Enty in a dress. You don't like, you like joking, but you don't like people joking with you? No, I can already tell, man. Fire. If looks could kill, Brother NT, I'd be dead, right? And so it's good to have Brother NT. Got to visit with him in the hospital. And then we went and visited Mrs. Franks and got to visit some time with Mrs. Franks. And her dog just loved me, and I enjoyed spending time with her dog. And listened a little bit Mrs. Franks had to say. And so then got to be with the teenagers this morning. Let me just say, you guys have, what was the man's name that was here before me? Brother Mark. Brother Mark, who I don't know Brother Mark, but Brother Mark did a great job with the teenagers. And I could just tell by their spirit, I could tell by their discipline, and of course that, you know, there's the pastor's heart as well, but you guys have a good group of young people. And I came from a fairly large youth group, and I praise the Lord for all of them, but I come in here, and man, they're all sit still, listen up, and just had a great spirit. And then I got to be in junior church, and I act like an eight-year-old, so I deserve to be in junior church. And so I praise the Lord I got to be in junior church this morning. That's probably one of my favorite places to be with because, you know, they understand me. They laugh at my jokes a little bit. They look at my goofiness, and they enjoy that. And so I got to be in junior church and see where you do a great job. You do a great job there in junior church, there in the rally time, and I praise the Lord for the faithfulness there. You guys have a wonderful church. And I just want to say thank you for letting my wife and I, my family come. We've been staying here at the church, the Prophet's Chamber. Wonderful, wonderful facilities you guys have had and feeding us and taking such good care of us. Thank you so much for that. And I just ask before we get into any further, I thank you for your prayers. Would you please pray for Cody and for Charity and our family? We are traveling to California this week. I'm going to spend some time asking the Lord to give me wisdom about the next step in my life there with my family in California. So would you please pray and ask God to give me wisdom and peace about where the Lord would lead me to. And don't be partial. I know you say, well, please bring Cody, or say maybe you'll say, please keep him away. But would you just pray for our family that God would give us wisdom and direction. So that's a little bit about what's going on here. Let me just tell you very quickly my testimony. I grew up not going to church. I went to the Christian school that our church had, but I was not regular in church. Got invited, came to a few things. Finally, the bus started picking me up. My dad and my mom were divorced, and really the only spiritual influence in my life was my grandma. And my grandpa was not much of a Christian, so she didn't go to church because he wouldn't let her almost. And so really, nobody went to church around me except for my sister. And so my sister and the bus people were trying to pick me up, get me in church. But I loved junior church, and that's where I got excited about the Lord. And through my junior church teacher's excitement, I got excited about the Lord. And then I went to a camp in Colorado, Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, and through the preaching of Dave McCracken, I received Christ as my Savior, and then surrendered my life to preach 2 days later. And I basically got back from camp, told the church that I surrendered to preach. It was just a few weeks later that my pastor said, well, let's get you started. And so he put me in a Sunday school class there, and me and my friend, no experience teaching, never. And so I don't even know how the Lord gave me the ability to teach those young people, but from the time about 16 years old, I've been teaching children. I've been able to minister to young people. That's where my heart, my goal, my burning desire to see young people, and that's where it is. We let them, we've lost the public school because we gave up. And we just now kind of just expect young people to love the Lord. But we've got to love them. We've got to reach out to the young people. We've got to bring them back to the Lord so they can take the revival they get here in church and take it there to the public school with them. And I have a desire to get into the public schools and to see the public schools minister to. We can do it. Do you guys know that?
Yes, sir.
Did you know we can go as Christians to the public school and have a Bible time? It's a lie. Most people think, oh, the public schools want nothing to do with religion. No, no, no. They can't teach it. The teachers can't teach it. But a pastor can go into, or a youth pastor, or a layman can go into a public school and have a Bible time class there, take their Bible and preach the Bible in public school. Anybody can do that. The Muslims can do that. And guess what? They're doing it. Okay? All right, the Jehovah's Witnesses can go into a public school and teach their false doctrine. Guess what? They're doing it. Okay? Guess who's not doing it? The people with the truth. Because we've been scared, because we think, oh, we can't go in the public schools. Yes, we can. We can go in there, and we can preach the Word of God. And so I went to West Coast Baptist College. That's where I met Charity. Charity grew up in Idaho, and she got saved the same year as I did, and surrendered her life to ministry. And we met, it was her, she actually graduated, and I was a senior. And this is our testimony. And I didn't share this with the young people. Let me share this with you now, young people. Listen, when her and I both stopped looking for a mate and just gave it to God, it was a week later for her, and it was just a short time more for me that God brought us together. When we stopped looking for a mate, and we just said, God, you have control of our lives, is when Charity and I met, and it started in a relationship. Now, young people, listen, dating is the way of the thing today, but folks, let me just encourage you, just walk with God. Young people, just trust God and ask God. Give Him a list of things that you like in a future mate, husband or wife, and just pray and pray and pray. And I have faith and trust that God will give you those lists. Rather than you seeking it, let God bring that person to you. And that's the story, the testimony that Charity and I have. And praise God, she stuck with me. And we've had 3 children. We were in Victory Baptist Church in Cocoa, Florida. And God blessed the ministry there. And through just some things with Pastor and I, we decided that it was time for us to separate ways. And so I resigned the ministry there 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks I was there. And now it's been 2 weeks that I've been gone. And I was in a church in Georgia, and now here, just seeking the Lord's will. So if you would pray for us, all my stuff is in Cocoa, Florida, just waiting in a storage facility there, just waiting for God to give us the ability, the peace to move somewhere. And so if you just pray for us, I'd appreciate that. So that's my testimony, a little bit about me, and I love the Lord. My desire is for revival. Revival. I want to see this country that I love. I love my country. I love everybody in my country, and I have a desire to see my country come to know Jesus Christ again. Amen? My desire is for revival. My desire is for young people. For young people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to have a desire to serve God, to grow up, and then to become preachers themselves. And I have a desire for young people. I have a desire for everybody. I love everybody. I've never met a person I don't like. People don't like me, and I understand that's kind of like Pastor P's, you know. Who wouldn't like me? I'm the same way. You know, who wouldn't like me? But some people don't like me. Fortunately, some people probably don't like you, right? A few. You don't know. Hey, you are greater than I. I know there are some people out there who don't like me. But I praise the Lord for that. That's a little bit about my heart. And I just want to open the Word of God tonight. Let me just say this, okay? I probably, as a 30-year-old young man, could not teach many of you anything. I want to just get that straight out there. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know tonight, okay? So don't get up here and think, wow, this guy's going to wow us with something. I'm not. That's not my desire. My desire is just to encourage you, to remind you of some things. Don't we all need to be reminded? Amen? I have a cell phone, all right? If it was not for my cell phone, I would forget a lot of things. All right, I would forget my birthday. I would forget my anniversary. I would forget my kids' birthdays. I don't even know my wife's birthday, so my cell phone can't help that. November 11th. 9th. 9th. I know there's an 11 in there, and I always get it confused. November 11th. And so, listen, I forget a lot, okay? The November 9th. She will help me remember, trust me, when it comes time. Listen, I forget a lot of things. And I know there's a lot of things you've forgotten. And I just want to remind you of a few things. So I'm not up here. I don't think I'm better than anybody, okay? All right, I told the teenagers this morning, a minister's job is to serve. Is to serve, and I want to be a servant tonight, and I want to minister to you, and I want to take the Word of God. I can't teach you anything, folks, but the Word of God can help you. And I want to help you folks tonight, and I want to look at some scripture tonight that'll be a bit of encouragement to you. And so let's go ahead and take your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. And we're going to read a little bit about Jesus. And listen, folks, I'm going to kind of build off of what Pastor talked about this morning. And Pastor said, being concerned about the things that Jesus was concerned about, correct? And he gave us 3 things that Jesus was concerned about. And folks, listen, as believers of the Bible, we must know what the Bible says. And we must have a desire to follow it fully, not just a little bit, not just take what we want and leave it. But listen, folks, have a desire to learn. And folks, I'm going to say a statement here, okay? To start out my sermon, I'm going to give you a statement. And many of you, hope you understand what I'm saying. Hope you don't get offended, okay? But I hope you understand what I'm going to say here. You ready for this? Okay? I struggle with the fact that I'm a Christian. Did you hear that? Sometimes I struggle with the fact that I may be or not be a Christian. What do you mean? Do you understand that the Bible tells us that there is someone who is a saved person, who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior? They are saved. But being a Christian means you are Christ-like. They were saved people. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us very clearly here in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 25. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Folks, this is almost 10 years after Pentecost. People have been receiving Jesus Christ and been saved for almost 10 years. This is definitely 10 years after Christ. And so people have been getting saved, receiving Christ as their Savior, having a home in heaven, okay? And that's settled. But folks, it doesn't end with saved. There is the life that is dedicated to Jesus Christ that says, I'm going to not just be saved and believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live like Jesus. Amen? And someone who lives like Jesus is a Christian. Someone who believes in Jesus, it's easy to believe in Jesus. Anybody can believe in Jesus. Amen? But it takes a dedicated person. It says it took a year for these people to be taught by Barnabas and Paul before they were called by everybody. Those are Christians. They don't just believe in Jesus. They don't just talk about Jesus. They live like Jesus. And folks, I just want to encourage you now. I just want to ask you. And many of you have been saved and believe in the Lord longer than I have been alive. But folks, let me just ask you. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But a Christian is somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm just going to be very honest with you tonight. We throw that name around, a Christian, to anybody and everybody. All right? We say, you're a Christian. Oh, they're Christian people. Well, listen, if Jesus Christ was around them, would Jesus Christ say, would their lives match up? Does that make sense? Are you getting this tonight? If Jesus Christ was around us today and he was walking the earth, all right, and if we looked at his life and the way he lived his life and the way he followed his Father, would we look at his life and say, they're the same? Or would we look at his life and the pure and the faithfulness that he had and look at our lives and look at the lives around us and say, I'm not worthy. I fall short of living a life of Christ. I'm not a Christian. And folks, it's not my desire tonight to offend anybody. It's my desire tonight to help you understand we need to be Christians. If we're going to lead people to Jesus, if we're going to pull people towards him, we have to live like him. We cannot just stay saved under the blood on our way to heaven and just sit still and wait for Jesus to take us. That's not what Jesus intended life to be. If that's all Jesus intended life to be, Brother Armstrong, when you were 5 years old, you'd have went to heaven. If that's all Jesus wanted life to be, is to receive him as our Savior, you'd have never lived to be 101 years old. But Brother Armstrong, there's a reason God has given you such a long life. So that you could live like Jesus and testify of his goodness to other people. Folks, listen, it doesn't just stop at being saved. Knowing Jesus, believing in him. There is a life, there is a pursuit in your heart that says, I want to be a Christian. I want to be like him. And listen, to be like him, first you have to know him. To be like him, first you have to understand how he lived. To be like him, first, folks, you have to give up some things. And it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some effort. Folks, I struggle sometimes being a Christian. I struggle sometimes. And folks, would you admit? You don't have to say it. You don't have to raise your hand. You have to say nothing. Just in your heart, would you admit tonight? Sometimes I struggle with being a Christian. Someone who's Christ-like. Who's a little Christ. We could never be perfect and holy like him. But the Bible does tell us, listen, we ought to have the mind of Christ. The heart of Christ. We ought to be holy. Set apart. Sanctified. Fit for the master's use. Folks, God would not give us a command that we could not do. And God wants us to have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and to live like Christ. And it's my desire, it's my goal to just give you five foundational principles about Jesus tonight. The way he lived his life. And those foundational principles I want you to build on. And say, listen, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that, and now I can do a little better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that you saved us. We're so thankful that you died on the cross, Lord. You were beaten. Father, you were smitten. You were mocked. And Father, Lord, you remained faithful. You were faithful to the Father. And Lord, we know you were buried. And as the song sang tonight, 3 days later, you arose and you live today. And God, you are saving people and you are still saving people. But God, you did not intend for us to stay just saved. God, you intended for us to believe the scriptures, to get baptized. You intended for us to learn the scriptures and then to obey the scriptures and then to teach the scriptures to other people. But Father, Lord, how we fall short today. I know myself, Lord, it's me, God, that needs this message. God, I'm sure there's some other folks in this room who need this message tonight to understand there's more to being than saved. There's living the life of Christ. And God, we can follow his footsteps. You gave us the Bible. As we open the Bible tonight and look how Jesus lived, God, may it be an encouragement to us tonight. And Father, I pray you'll bless this message. Speak to our hearts. Help us to draw closer to you through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to get from this message tonight is this, okay? All right? There's Christians and there's saved people, okay? Can we all agree with that? Amen? Do you understand that? There's Christians, okay? There are people who are living like Jesus Christ. That's a Christian. And there are people who are saved. Can we get that in our heads tonight? Is that a biblical principle, yes or no? It's a biblical principle. The Bible tells us there are people who are saved, who believe in Jesus Christ. They're called believers, okay? And then there are people who the Bible calls Christians, who are followers of Jesus. They know who Jesus is, they know what Jesus did, and they follow it, and they follow it, and they follow it. Day after day, hour after hour, month after month. That's a Christian. They look like Christ. They act like Christ. They talk like Christ. How many of you guys are duck hunters? All right? Any duck hunters in here? Brother Bateman, are you a duck hunter? You don't hunt ducks? Nobody hunts ducks? Well, listen, if you're duck hunting, okay, that sounds like a duck. That looks like a duck. That flies like a duck. Hey, if it sounds like a duck, it looks like a duck, it flies like a duck, it's probably a duck. If someone looks like Jesus, follows Jesus, does what Jesus did, loves like Jesus, they're probably a Christian. If someone doesn't look like Jesus, if someone doesn't follow Jesus, if someone doesn't talk about Jesus and love like Jesus, they may be saved, but they ain't a Christian. Does that make sense? Can you get that in your head tonight? I want you to take that with you. If that's all you get tonight, if you all to get tonight, listen, I want you to get that. Number second thing I want you to get tonight is this. Listen, hey, it's worth being a Christian. It is worth it to be a follower of Jesus. And if you have your Bible, that's where I want you to turn tonight. In John chapter number 1, these passage scriptures talk about Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He was the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Counselor. And here we're going to read about who Jesus was. And is it worth being a Christian? There's being saved, and oh, I believe in Jesus. And then there's somebody who says, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I love him. I'm going to follow him. In John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Jesus. All things were made by Jesus. And without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse number 10. Skip down to verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave the power to become the what? Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God who came down to this earth as man. And the Bible says He had the glory of God. He had the power of God. And folks, listen, is it worth being a follower of Jesus? Amen. Right? It is worth following. Listen, hey, there are people out there today who are following a lot of people. There are people out there today who follow sports. I don't know many professional athletes, but I know that I saw in the ESPN today, Aaron Rodgers. Do you know how many people out there today follow Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is a Christian. Nothing against Aaron Rodgers. But listen, hey, Aaron Rodgers is not Jesus. Amen. You know how many people out there today have some pop star that they follow everywhere? They look like that pop star, they act like that pop star, and they do what that pop star does. Listen, Jesus is more impressive than that pop star tonight. Amen? Every one of you has somebody out there that you are following. That you, listen, maybe you have a Twitter account and you're following them on Twitter. Maybe you have a Facebook account and you're following them. You're seeing how they're doing things. And listen, you are watching them. And you, some of you like to act like them. Folks, listen, if it's a celebrity, if it's a sports star, is the President of the United States. Listen, we were in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. Got to see his house. I don't know if it was his motorcade, but they closed off the streets, and about 10 police cars came, and then about 10 motorcycle cops came, and then there was about 10 of these big black cars going into the White House. And then, of course, there was a whole bunch of police following him. I don't know if that was the President or not, but, you know, I was like, wow, that's the President. That's pretty cool. Got to see his motorcade. I got to see the President. But folks, you know what I thought? I know Jesus. The President, he's good. It's nice to see the White House. But listen, I know Jesus. And I follow him, and he's special to me. And I took pictures of the White House, and I thought, man, it would be great to take pictures of Jesus' house. Take pictures of the heaven. And how special it would be to know that that's where I've been. But folks, listen, Jesus is much more impressive than the President tonight. No matter who the President is, Jesus takes precedence of him. Okay? And folks, let me just say this while I'm talking about the President. Pray for him. Let's not criticize our President. Let's not put down our President. Let us pray for the man. Amen? Let's not talk bad about a guy who is over our country. I don't care if you don't agree with him or not. Listen, he's the man that we elected. We need to pray for our President. And you know what? Next year, they're going to elect a new President. All right? It's not going to be Mr. Barack Obama. And let me just say this, you better start now praying that God would give us a godly president. And you better look as a church, as a body of believers, and you better look at each candidate. And if they know Jesus Christ, and if they're a praying person, if they're a Christian, we do not need anybody who's not a Christian in the White House. And I could tell you who I'm voting for after the service, and I hope that you would maybe follow in this, because I believe this person would do a great job leading our country. But listen, folks, I want you to understand, pray for our president. But more important than the President of the United States is Jesus. He is God in the flesh. And he lived here for 33 years. And he loved everybody. And he did miracles after miracles. Brother N.T., Jesus could have walked into the hospital room and just spoke the words and you'd have risen right up and been out of there. Jesus could have gone to the funeral that they had down the street and he could have just spoke the words and that man could have come out of that woman, could have come out of that grave. Hallelujah, praise God. That's who Jesus is. That's my Lord. And I say, Jesus, I'm following you. And I may not be a Christian today, and I may struggle, but you know what? I'm 30 years old, and may Lord willing, I've got more life to live. I'm going to follow you. And I want to be a Christian. I want people to look at me and say, same thing. Same thing. Not just a saved person, not just a lover of Jesus, not just a person who talks about Jesus, but a Christian. Someone who looks like, walks like, talks like, same thing. It's only number one. Listen, hey, understand there's a saved person who's a Christian. And there's a journey, there's a sacrifice that gives us to say, I'm a Christian. Number two, I want you to get this tonight, folks. Listen, Jesus is worth following. More important than anybody out there is Jesus. More important than anybody out there that you want to be like is Jesus. And I hope that you'll see Jesus as a very special person, and you'll get to know him as your Savior and your Lord and your God, and understand what he's done for you and what he can do for you. Because without him, we are miserable. Without Jesus, we are hopeless. But with Jesus, folks, we have a friend above all friends that can strengthen us more than anybody ever could strengthen us and could help us more than anybody else could ever. And I pray and ask that you folks would say, tonight, I want to be a Christian. I'm deciding tonight that I'm tired of just being saved. I'm tired of just talking about Jesus. I'm tired of just saying I love Jesus. I'm tired about just singing about Jesus. I'm deciding tonight I want to live like Jesus did. And if you've made that decision tonight and that's something you're interested in, here, listen, let me give you five foundational principles, five foundational things in your life that we need to understand about Jesus Christ. Number one, the first foundation of Christ is that he had no fear of suffering. A foundation of Jesus Christ is, number one, he had no fear of suffering. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was in great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, Luke chapter 23, verse 33, when they were called Calvary, they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Listen, Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus Christ was not afraid to suffer. And folks, let me get this in your head tonight. If you want to be a Christian, you're going to have to be like Christ, and you're going to have to not be afraid to suffer. Folks, if you are afraid of suffering tonight, if you're afraid of pain, if you're afraid of being embarrassed or ashamed, if you're afraid of a little bit of persecution, being a Christian is not for you. But folks, listen. If you're willing to say, I can take the pain. He took the cross! He took the nails! He sat there in pain and agony and prayed. If he's willing to do that, as Miss Charity is saying tonight, his life for mine. His life. He took the nails. He took the stripes. If he could take that pain, I could take the pain it takes to be a Christian tonight. If he could do that for me, by God, I could do something for him. By the Lord, I could have the strength of him to help me. Folks, listen, Jesus was not afraid of suffering. Hey, listen, Christ suffered the devil attacks. Listen, Christ, the devil went, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up into the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Listen, Jesus wasn't afraid of the devil. Do you understand that? Jesus said, devil, I know you're coming. Let's go meet out in the desert. I've got no bread, I've got no water, I'm weak. Come on, devil. I'm not afraid of you. Why wasn't Jesus afraid of the devil? Because the Father was with him. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He wasn't afraid. He got tempted and he said, no, devil. And he said, no. Folks, listen, the devil's going to come after you if you're going to take a stand for Jesus. Listen, some of you tonight are going to make a decision. Tonight, I'm going to follow Jesus. And tomorrow morning, guess who's going to be on your doorstep? The devil. The devil's going to be saying, what did you tell that church last night? What did you pray to God? The devil's going to have you doubting it. The devil's going to put worry. The devil's going to put fear. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you cannot be afraid of the devil. You got to say, devil, no. I have God, and I have Jesus. And whatever you throw at me, and whatever temptation you come at me, I may fall, but God, I'm going to get back up. Or the NT, you talked about faithfulness. Listen, you got to be faithful when the devil attacks. You got to be faithful when the pain comes. And when you don't feel like being a Christian, that's when you say, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing my ministry today. I'm sick. I'm downhearted. I'm discouraged. But listen, if Jesus could walk on the cross to Calvary, I can do it. You cannot be afraid to suffer if you're going to be a Christian. Jesus wasn't afraid to suffer. Hey, listen, Jesus also did not, not only did he suffer the devil's attack, he suffered on the cross, but listen, Jesus suffered attacks from scoffers. John chapter 7, verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goest about to kill thee? Some of the people in his days told Jesus, said Jesus was the devil. You're a devil. They said, you don't know what you're talking about, you're confused. Listen, Jesus had people scoffing at him. He had his doubters. How dare we think we're just going to get through this life and be a Christian and not have people mock us and scorn us? Folks, listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to decide already. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what my mama thinks. I don't care what my grandpa thinks. I don't care what my aunt or uncle think. I'm going to live for Jesus because all I care about is how he thinks. And I'm going to go through the persecution and my boss may make fun of me and my co-workers may make fun of me for living for him, but it doesn't matter. I love Jesus tonight. Folks, if you're going to be a Christian, you cannot be afraid to suffer. You know it's coming. You just got to know, suffering's coming. And I'm ready for it. Devil, I'm ready for you. Come on. No, you're not winning. No, go away. Devil, get out of here. You can't get me. The pain comes. Pain, you know what? You can't stop me. You can't stop me, pain. I love Jesus. I'm following Him. And I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to quit. I may not feel like it, but I'm going to be faithful. Because Jesus did not give up. Jesus did not give up. And folks, when those people mock, when those people scorn you, just say, ha, okay. What did they do? What did Paul do when he got mocked at? He said, praise the Lord, I'm able to suffer for the name of Jesus. And that's what you should say every night. Praise God, you allowed me to suffer a little bit today for you, Jesus. I got to suffer a little bit for you. And you should say, thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful that I got to do that today. So number one, the first foundation of Christ is that He had no fear of suffering. Number two, the second foundation of Christ is that He found the sinners. What else did Jesus do? He found the sinners. And that's a big message part of the pastor preached this morning. And so I'm not going to spend too much time on this point because pastors preached on it this morning. But listen, what did Jesus do? He found the sinners. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in His house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and His disciples, for there were many, and they followed Him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw Him with the publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, how is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole hath no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus says, I'm going to the sinners. I'm going to go sit with them. I'm going to go eat with them. I'm going to go be with them, because they need a Savior. And folks, listen, Jesus Christ, the foundational of Jesus Christ, is He didn't just have compassion on the sinner. He didn't just say, well, bless your little heart. Jesus didn't just say, they're a sinner. Yep, they're a sinner. I see that. No, Jesus says, they need me. They need me. They need me, and I'm going to go stick with them. And I'm going to go feed them. And I'm going to go heal them. And I'm going to go pray for them. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And folks, in our life today, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to understand that you must find the sinners. We cannot be a Christian if you're not willing to go down where the sinners are and bring them to Jesus. If you're not willing to go where the sinners are, listen, the Bible says that they left the 99 and went after that one that was lost. Listen, are you willing to leave what you have to go find another and then bring that back and then go find another? You got to find them, folks. Listen, today's society, they're not just running. Have you ever just had to have to close the doors because it was full because people just were running in here? No, it's not that way anymore. I mean, it's not the Super Bowl. I mean, if this was the Super Bowl, man, you'd have to charge admission to come into church. All right? If this was the Steelers and then the Packers playing, you know what? Listen, man, hey, but listen, this is church. They're preaching about Jesus in here. They're preaching about sin. People aren't going to come automatically. You have to go find them and bring them. You have to bring them and say, hey, listen, come to church with me. There's some great preaching. There's a great musician there. There's some great people there. Listen, as a Christian, you got to be able to go find the sinner. Listen, let's make it hard for people in Elizabeth City to go to hell. Let's make it hard. How do we make it hard for people in Elizabeth City to go to hell? You put the name of Jesus everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Listen, Elizabeth City is not a big town. And it would not be hard for every one of us to knock every door and then knock every door again. And then knock every door again, and then hold up our banners, and personally witness to those, and listen, let everybody in Elizabeth City know that there is a Jesus, and that there is a hell. And you either choose Jesus and go to heaven, or you go to hell. Listen, let's make it hard. Let's make it hard where people have to every day make that decision, heaven or hell, because you're there. May it be a testimony of your life that when they see you, they know you're going to heaven, and they look at you and they say, that person's going to heaven, and I'm going to hell. And I don't want hell. Let's make it hard. Let's go seek this and let's go find them and bring them in. Folks, listen, I want you to understand this point, okay? A good Christian will not see the sin, but see the soul that is on the way to hell. A good Christian, someone who is a follower of Jesus, who has a mind of Christ, will not see the sin, but see a soul that is on the way to hell. The Bible says in Isaiah 51, verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And then there's a little other part of the scripture. Then go to the next verse, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Why is hell increasing its size today? Because people have no knowledge of Jesus. Let's make it hard today for people in Elizabeth City to not know the name of Jesus. Let's tell them. Let's seek them. Let's go find them. So number one, the first foundation is we must have no fear of suffering. Number two, second principle of foundation of Christ is that he found the sinner. Number three, the third foundation of Christ is that he followed the Father's steps. Jesus Christ followed the Father's steps. He did not care about getting the glory, but that he glorified his Father. He says, it's not about me, it's about him. It's not about what I can get, it's what he can get. And folks, that's our life passion today, should be. It's not about me getting the glory, all right? It's not about Brother Jim being the greatest song leader there is. Listen, our Brother Jim would say, by the grace of God, I am what I have today. And folks, are you willing to admit that today? Are you willing to admit that everything you have and everything you are is only because of the grace of God? It's not because of how great you are. It's not because of how smart you are. But folks, the only thing you have today, and the only reason you have, and the only reason you are today is because grace of God. God has given it to you. And Jesus realized that, God, there's nothing greater I could do than to follow your footsteps and to follow the path that you have set before me. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, the Son of God, says, my job, my goal, my desire is to follow the Father's footsteps and what he's done me to here sent me here to do. Folks, is that your desire every day? Is it your desire every day to wake up and say, oh Lord, what would you have me to do today? God, where would you have me go? Oh, Father, as the pastor talked about this morning, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom and guidance. Where would you have me go? What would you have me to say? Oh, Father, I want to follow your footsteps today, not my own. But many of us don't even go praying. We just get up, put our clothes on, take a shower. Take a shower first, then put your clothes on. Clothes on, get up, don't talk to God, don't ask Jesus anything, and just go off to your day. And you do what you want to do. And you have fun, and you have pleasure, and you end the day and you're like, man, it just seems like something's missing. And maybe you say your prayers before you go to bed and you're like, man, I should have witnessed that person. Well, if you've woken up and asked God to give you wisdom before the day and give you guidance, he'd have shown you that person when you needed him. But we don't even ask him. We don't even know what the Father's footsteps are because we're not seeking it. We're not asking for it. We're not in our Bibles. Folks, listen, a Christian will be more interested in the Father's work than they are their own work. We got to work. We got to live, okay? But folks, are you more interested in your paycheck than you are God's paycheck? Are you more interested in what your boss thinks about you and how hard you work for your boss than you are working for Jesus? I'm not saying anything about your job tonight. Everybody has to work, and I understand that. And we all put 40, 50 hours a week. And God did not put us here on this earth to spend 10 hours a day at work and then have to spend 10 hours a day in prayer and get 4 hours of sleep. I'm not saying that, okay? You put your time at work, but folks, listen, as I told the teenagers this morning, there's physical and there's spiritual. And you go out there and you give physical labor, but folks, do you ever labor spiritually? Do you ever feed your soul? Do you ever feed your spiritual life? Folks, Jesus says, I'm not just flesh. I'm working the Spirit. A Christian will be more concerned about how they look to the Father than how they look to their friends. Jesus says, I don't care what how you see me. You see me as a devil. You see me as a humble man. I don't care how you see me. I only care how Father sees me. Listen, do you care how the Father sees you? I'm not talking about your physical appearance. The Bible says God doesn't look on the outward, but God looks on the heart. Do you care how your heart looks to God? A Christian would say, oh me, I care. Oh me, I've got some sin. I've got to get rid of it today. Oh me, bless my soul. I'm following the Father. And Lord, you know that there's some things in me that I got to get rid of. And oh, you're on your knee praising God and asking God to forgive you. Folks, do you care what the Father thinks of you? A good Christian will be more concerned about how they look to the Father than they look to their friends. A Christian will earnestly look for ways for the Father to increase in your life and look for areas that we can sacrifice in order to make the Father supreme. A good Christian will earnestly look for ways for the Father to increase in your life and look for areas that we can sacrifice to make the Father supreme. Listen, what did John say? I must decrease and he must increase. Every day, Father, what can I add today that you would be pleased in? Father, what can I take away today that you're not pleased with? What can I do today that you're not pleased with that I can sacrifice and give up? Listen, sacrifice. You got to be willing to sacrifice the Lord. Number four, the fourth point, the fourth foundational principle that we have to have is that Jesus held firm to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ held firm to the Scriptures. Jesus, of course, wrote the Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures, but listen, he kept them. Jesus was just as human as we were, correct? Jesus could have broken the Ten Commandments, could he not? If Jesus could not have sinned, then there was no reason for him. Listen, Jesus could sin. Jesus knew what the Bible said, and he kept it word for word. Every jot, every tittle, line by line, precept by precept. Jesus kept it, and he knew the Word of God. Listen, do you know your truth today? Do you know what the Bible even says? Have you ever read it through fully? I was shocked this year. Someone I respect as a Christian dearly. Matter of fact, two of them. Two of the people that I respect as what I thought were Christians blew me away, said they've never read through their entire Bible. Ever in their life have they gone from Genesis to Revelation and read every word. How can you be a Christian if you do not know your Bible? How can you follow the footsteps of the Lord if you've not read His Word? You can't. You cannot do it. You cannot do your job if you don't know what you're supposed to do, right? All right? You work for a secret company, DOD, right? And they give you A, B, C, D, E, F, G you're supposed to do, correct?
Right.
Listen, and so you're supposed to read that, and know that, and follow it.
Right.
And if you didn't, you would say, no wonder they're firing me. I don't know what my job is. No wonder they're, who, is there the person, who works, is there somebody who works at Walmart here? I saw someone. You work at Walmart. You too? You are my favorite people. I love Walmart. I love Walmart. Praise God. Let me shake your hand. You're like a celebrity to me. I love Walmart. It's my favorite place in the world. I've been to four Walmarts this week in four different states. I was at Walmart in Georgia. I was in Walmart in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. And so Walmart is like, you know, my second home, third home besides church and my house. So Walmart, they give you a job description, right? They say, hey, here's your job. And they say, do it, correct? And you read that and you do it. And you get paid for it. If you never read the job description, they would what? Fire you. And you wouldn't work at Walmart anymore, would you? Folks, how can we be a Christian? How can we follow Christ? How can we call ourselves little Jesuses? If you don't know what this says, you can't. You're a believer. You're saved. You may love the Lord. And you may give up to Him. But folks, if you don't know this truth, and you don't read it, and you don't follow it, folks, you can't work at Walmart if you don't know what Walmart wants you to do. You can't be a Christian if you don't know what the Bible says and follow it and live it. Folks, Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 17, and there were delivered unto them the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when they had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of them all were in the synagogue were fastened to him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. What was Jesus saying? Jesus knew what the Scripture was. He got up and he read it. And he told them, folks, this is what you need to hear today. Folks, if somebody came to you with a problem, would you know where to take them? Folks, if someone came to you today and said, please, please, I'm dying. I've got cancer. I'm going to die in a few days. You're a Christian. Can you please show me how to be saved? Would you be able to open the Word of God and show them verse by verse how they can know Christ as their Savior? Would you be able to do that? Do you know how to take the Bible and explain to someone how they're lost and on the way to hell and how Jesus died for them and how we must believe in them and trust Christ as our Savior and repent of our sin? Do you know how to do that? Folks, that's Christianity, ABC. Knowing how to tell someone about Jesus and lead them to Christ. Folks, we've got to know the truth. We've got to follow it. A Christian will be in their Bible as much as they can. A Christian will be true to the Bible. Finally, a Christian will teach the truth, not in a mean spirit, but in a loving, compassionate way. Folks, listen, we've got to stand on what we believe on today. In a loving, compassionate way, but folks, we've got to stand for what's right. There's some people out there who they think they're right, but folks, they're living against the Word of God, and this is the truth, the pillar and ground of truth. And folks, we've got to know what this says. And you just can't point your finger at someone. You're a bad person. Shame on you for doing that. No, folks, we've got to... Listen, the Bible says that that's wrong. The Bible says right here in this verse that that's against the Word of God. And I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. But that's wrong. In a loving, kind, compassionate way, a person will know their Scriptures, they will live their Scripture, and they will teach the Scriptures. Follow it. Finally, number five, and we'll be done. The fifth and final foundation of Christ is that He forgave those that were sentenced. He forgave those that were sentenced. They were guilty, they were tried, and they were sentenced. Folks, listen, in your life today, there is somebody who has done you wrong. And you have said, guilty! And they probably are guilty. And you have said, the sentence is banishment. I don't want anything to do with you. Folks, did Jesus have people in His life who did wrong to Him? Yes or no? Did Jesus hang around people who were guilty of sin? Yes or no? I mean, here it is. John chapter 8, verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set in their midst, they said to Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should be stoned. And what sayest thou? Verse number 7, John 8, 7. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He is without sin among you. Let him first cast a stone at her. What's Jesus saying here? She's guilty. She deserves to be stoned. The Word of God says it is, but I forgive her. I forgive her. And He brought her up and He loved on her and said, go and sin no more. John chapter 18, verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out to that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Peter denied Jesus Christ. Three times he denied Jesus Christ, and ran and hid from Him. Did Jesus say, you denied me, therefore I'm denying you? No. Jesus came back, and after He rose again, in John chapter 21, He says, saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Then Jesus saith unto him a third time, because Peter denied Him three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter's grieved because He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Folks, Jesus forgave those that were sentenced, that were guilty. Folks, listen, how can we be a Christian and live in bitterness? How can we be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and hold a grudge against somebody? How can we call ourselves little Jesuses and get upset every time someone does something wrong for us? How can we as husbands and wives say we're Christians when our spouses do something that displeases us, and we automatically... Jesus says, I forgive you. It's okay. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Jesus forgave those that were guilty. Folks, how do you treat those people who have wronged you? How do you treat them? You got them. They're there. It happens. People are human. How do you treat them? Do you banish them? Do you get mad at them? Do you despise them and hope that evil things happen to you? Is that the mind of Christ, yes or no? A person who is a Christian will say, I forgive you. Listen, not only forgiving them, but forgetting about it. I forgive you, and I've already forgotten about it. Hey, that's a good thing about having a little bit of a memory. I forget a lot of things. All right, I forget some good things, but I forget some bad things too. Listen, I forgive you. And I'm forgotten about it. And you know what else? There's a third step to forgiveness. It's called doing someone a favor. It's called restoration. You forgive somebody, I'm sorry, I forgive you. I forget about it, it's already forgotten. And now let me do you a favor to show you that we now have a friendship. Folks, if you have forgiven somebody, but you haven't forgotten about it, that's not forgiveness. I can't wait to bring that up again. Yeah, I got you! Remember that time you did some wrong for me? Ha! Remember, you owe me. No, that's not forgiveness. No, then you forget about it, and then you do that person a favor to show, hey, we're good. And there's no wrong here, there's no ill here. Jesus did a favor for Peter. Jesus did a favor for this woman that was caught in adultery. He says, listen, I forgive you, and let me help you. Let me show you that you're forgiven and you're loved. Folks, if we're a Christian tonight, five things. These are just foundation. Listen, I could preach for hours. I could preach for hours on how good Jesus is. I could preach for hours on how following Jesus has helped me. I could preach for hours on how praising Him and serving Him and loving Him is the greatest thing ever. I could. I could preach for hours and hours on how, listen, this is what Jesus did and we must do it. But I just gave you five. You're going to have to spend time tonight and tomorrow and this year getting in the Word of God and finding out what He wants from you and how He lived. Let's just go back really quickly. Number one, the foundation of Jesus is this. Number one, the first foundation of Christ is that He had to no fear of suffering. You must not be afraid to suffer or you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it through tomorrow. Number two, what's the second foundation? You have to understand that Jesus found the sinners. He went where they were, found where they were. You're going to have to go looking for them. Go looking for them. Number third foundation is that Christ had followed the Father's footsteps. Folks, the number one priority in your life is not your job. It's not your family. The number one priority in your life is that you follow the Father. That you know what He says and that you do it. And that you make that your life goal. Fourth principle of Christ is that He held firm to the Scriptures. He knew what the Scriptures said. He obeyed them and He taught them. And you in your life today have to know the Bible to show you how to be a Christian. Otherwise, we cannot call ourselves Christians. Number five, the fifth and final foundation of Christ is that He forgave those that were sentenced. Are you willing to forgive those? Are you willing to forgive those that have wronged you? You have to if you're going to be a Christian, because they're going to wrong you and they're going to wrong you. And the more you love people sometimes, the more they hurt you. And you just have to say, I forgive you. I forget about it, and I'm going to give you do your favor. Folks, I want to close with this statement. A sign of a good Christian is not how right we can be and how wrong others can be, but how wrong others can be and how right we can treat them. A good sign of a Christian is not how right we can be, I'm so right, and how wrong they could be, but how wrong others can be and how right we can treat them. Folks, listen, are you a Christian tonight? I dare say, I don't know who you are, but I dare say you too struggle with being a Christian sometimes. I dare say that sometimes you are not able to follow Jesus like you want to. A Christian is someone who is like Christ. Folks, there's nothing greater than being a Christian. And may God bless you and may God help you to follow Him as close as you can. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father,